We'll read through Jude verses 14 through 25, and then I'll give my thoughts. Verse 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on some have compassion, making distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Verses 13 and 14, we read that the Lord will return with 10,000s of his saints. I believe that this is speaking of the Lord returning with an innumerable number of his saints, which I also found is what most of the commentaries agreed on. Why is the Lord coming? I'll use verse 15, to execute judgment on all, to convict all the ungodly among us and their ways. Basically, the Lord's coming to bring judgment on all who speak against him. Verses 16 through 19. Verse 16 gives us examples of the ungodly that were predicted. They're people who grumble, complain, walk according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, empty words, trying to get people to join them in all their ways, saying that it's going to be this, this, and this, and it's the complete opposite of what they're saying. The verse speaks of their actions, or actions that are found in the world more and more today. And then verses 17 through 19, these verses are a warning to us to keep ourselves grounded in the truths of the Bible so that we can be quick and able to see those that mock and attack the word and truths about God, Jesus, and salvation through God's grace. The people mentioned in the previous verses, though, in verses 16 through 19, I believe, are apostates. Verses 20 through 21, it's an encouragement to us that if we keep ourselves grounded in the Word and pray that we'll have the Lord's mercy through Jesus unto eternal life. And then verses 22 and 23, we need to have compassion on some, knowing that they're going through hard times. And then others, we need to bring them to the fear of the Lord, that they would turn from their ways. And the garment defiled by the flesh is just the things of the flesh, the old nature, that want to creep up and take control again. And then verses 24 and 25 just brings the glory to the Lord. And with that, I'll open it up for anyone else who has any more comments. I believe this passage was pretty self-explanatory.
stark contrasts, would you say? Evil, good, darkness, light, and very clear descriptions. Last time we read about the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, the rebellion of Korah. We do a whole study on just that part right there. But we see that God's judgment is also imminent. We believe that the Lord's coming is imminent. It could be at any time. It could be tonight. But also, the judgment of the ungodly is also something that could happen very soon. I was just thinking about verse 23, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. You remember in Old Testament times, if there was, under the law, if there was leprosy in the house, they would, if there was even a spot on the clothing, it was to be burned and dealt with, to make sure it was eradicated and out of the house, lest it should spread. And as believers, especially if we're sharing the gospel, we have compassion on people who are living in sin. We're reaching out to people who are living in sin with the gospel so that they might be saved. But in dealing with that, sometimes you're dealing with people who have a very exposed lifestyle that's sinful. And we need to be very careful as believers that we don't compromise one bit of our sanctified life as we reach out, that we are presenting our gospel message with holiness, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh, so that sin does not spread. It reminds me of that scripture, do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so as we go forward as representatives of Christ, it's so important that we're immersed in the Word of God, and the Word of God is a living reality part of us, and that we're in a position ourselves where we're strong enough and able to discern good and evil. Verse 24 is a very encouraging promise to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. We have great resources, power of God. I just love that. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The sanctified Christian life is God's will, is that we live separate from the world.
We see our responsibility in that. In verse 20 and 21, where it says, building yourself up. That's what we say. Keeping yourself in the love of God. So there is where. You go over in James there, where it says about, love not the world. James 4, where it says about, you adulterers and adults, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Not that we should be friendly, but that the thing that the world considers wonderful, if we do the same thing, we're going to be dead. The things that the world, that takes up their interest and holds their hold of it, if it does the same thing for us, then we're beginning to align ourselves up with the world. There's an area where, there's a certain amount of, it says there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, it says we have an obligation, and not to the flesh. But I don't know about you, but we don't have television. I mean, we've got it in the house, but you go to different places and you see some of this stuff. To be like, the average person watching it 5 hours a day is not just that, you see that, you know, the mind gets, there's other stuff up in it, it can have different things, you know. We just have to be real truly.
Self, and that's all it is. have the government issues, but you also have all this junk and trash creeping into the church, ordaining these homosexual people to be leaders and over the flock. And listen, you have to be nuts. Where do you come up with that stuff from the scriptures to say that that's okay? And the things that, you know, it's just mind-boggling, the things that are going on in the so-called church today. Earnestly contend for the faith. And I agree with you, Joel, that they need to hear is the gospel. But there's a side of me that thinks, you know what, that's good to get the flashlight shining in your eyes once in a while. Wake up.
Yeah.
Gay over my dead body. That's good. But anyway, it's incredible. Earnestly contend for the faith. And then, you know, you have this, the bulk of the book is about these people that are not in the faith, and to beware of them. And then at the end, like Tony was saying, the exhortation to us and what to do. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and the eternal life. Looking to the Lord. Looking to Him for direction and waiting for His coming, His returning, to take us home. This isn't home. Thank the Lord that this is not home. Wow. I don't know. Pretty much longer, I'm a little crazy. But Acts, I think of that statement, building yourselves up, and there's that phrase is used in Acts 20, verse 32. It says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." There's what's going to build us up. It isn't us and the world system telling us that we're all deep down wonderful people. If that's the case, why did that just happen in Connecticut? It just happened. If we're so wonderful, why do things like that happen? But commend you to God the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. The word of God. His time with the Lord. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the will of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking unto the Lord.
Same note in Colossians 2:7, it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And of course, the last few verses of the passage we just read, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling." That's where the power comes. Now to Him, I love that phrase, "Now to Him who is able to stumble." He's the only one who closes by getting glory.
Anyway, we've got a big snowstorm coming tonight, and
But you know, I just can ask you to pose a prayer, Sean. But this little book of Jude is power-packed, and it should remind us of the urgency to share the gospel. That little phrase, but others save with fear, putting them out of the fire. It's a very powerful statement that they is that they need to hear the gospel. And there are souls that are literally hanging over the fire. And that should trouble us sometimes when we're on our bed at night, very comfortable, knowing that our names are written in heaven, that there are people that we're in contact with that do not have that. So really pray about these things and consider, what can I say? What can I do? Just a little thing. Maybe just a gospel tract. Maybe just a word. But to remember that there are some very needy souls.
Father, we come before you now. We thank you for this time that we had to look into your word. We pray that you would keep us thinking about these thoughts of Jude, that they'd be on our minds daily. We ask that you grant us safe travel home as and throughout the next few days as the conditions get worse.